Hi, this is Clarissa Jacobson from Lunch Ladies, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode number 242, if I believe.
And yeah, Kevin. But I'm Simon, and we're on Zoom. This is insane.
I'm Daniel, and this is the first time you guys are seeing Simon on the YouTube.
Run, people, run.
Now you know to identify him when you see him on the street.
Yeah, Doug has to apologize. He couldn't be here this week. He had a personal issue. I'll let him address it when he comes back. I thought he was joining a hamburger eating contest, but that turns out wasn't the case. But, life goes on.
That was Bob, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did invite the intern to come back, but again, he's avoiding us. Oh, well.
Okay, well.
So, since we're all in quarantine, what have we been doing?
Well, what else are you going to do but watch stuff and play games?
Oh, my God. I must have watched, it's my second week, so 25 to 30 movies.
In 2 weeks?
1 week.
Sir, I'm at like 16 this week.
Yeah, because I have this crazy guy named Daniel who texts me every day and kicks a number between 1 and 25, and I have to watch.
Yeah, you've done picked three numbers for me because I've been busy doing the podcast of movies.
So yeah, today I decided not to watch your number movie. That's why you haven't picked another number. I'm sure our listeners are fascinated by this. So
hurry, forget the number movie. Okay,
Kev, what are you just watching movies?
I didn't count how many I've watched, but usually it's 2 to 3 a day. So it's probably 15 or 16 movies this week.
I'm on.
Plus, I watched. Like Tiger King and a few other things on Netflix. So
cool. Daniel, this is like a daily routine for you. Since you work from home, you get to watch movies.
Yeah, basically. Oh, was that him? Or?
What are you talking about?
No, he's talking
to me. Oh, he's talking to me? Okay.
Yeah.
My brain stopped working. So now people can see my brain farts on YouTube.
So... I do want to have a little bit of lead in on Lock and Key. Like that was my weekend the first weekend I plowed through Lock and Key. That thing blew me away how much I loved it. Love the comic, love the show. It's getting a solid 2 thumbs up for me, and I can't wait for season 2.
Since you were raving about it, I finished it. I had started it before. And I thought it was really good. As far as adaptations go, it was pretty solid. I haven't read the comics, oddly enough. And you know who the writer of the series is, right?
I do, Jonah Hill. Joe Hill, I don't know, something like that.
Joe Hill is?
Yeah, Stephen King's son.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'll watch it much sooner. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So hopefully, if everything works out correctly, we will have on Extra Feature Interview the VFX producer on Lock and Key.
Oh, fantastic.
In a couple days. We'll work on that actually probably tomorrow, although probably this week. That interview will hopefully be up. If it happens, I'll know in a couple days. So what's our first movie, Dan? Since you're in charge or whoever's in charge? Not me.
Do you want to do The Hunt?
Sure. Let's go.
Okay. Where's my cast list? My computer froze.
Uh-oh.
Wait. Sorry.
It's got some
sound black right now.
Perry Gilpin? Oh, there we go. Perry Gilpin, maybe?
Yeah. Betty Gilpin. Hilary Swank, Ike Barinholtz, Wayne Duvall, Ethan Suplee, Amy Madigan, and Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts is in this?
Okay, well, we might as well start off with a spoiler right away. She's the first one that dies, which I was mad at. Enough.
Just so everybody knows, we spoil everything, and this is just what we do. Yeah. So if you don't want spoilers, watch your films before you show up.
Yeah, I'll do timestamps so you can avoid spoilers too.
So I guess I'll start for a change. I had fun, surprisingly fun. I thought this would be a big frame pile of crap, and I kind of liked it. I liked everything about it. I thought it went well. I liked the kills. I liked the storyline. I was a little comedic at times, which I quite enjoyed. I would consider this a comedy more than I would consider a horror film.
Yeah.
And I really liked the ending. I thought the twist at the end was fun.
Simon, why don't you tell us about the premise of the film?
Oh, sorry. I guess I could do that. It's basically, what is it? It's a bunch of people that Hillary Swank disagrees with, doesn't like their views, so they call them all in to kill them.
No, so Hillary Swank was texting with a guy, and she was joking about something about hunting deplorables, people who are right-wing Trump supporters. And someone screenshots that and starts telling on right-wing news sites that a bunch of left-wing people are hunting right-wing people for sport. And so next thing you know, a bunch of right-wing people wake up in a field, and they're being hunted for sport. So we slowly learn that because they outed her on what was essentially a joke, she made it a real thing.
Okay.
So it's sort of a chicken and the egg kind of scenario. So Who created it? Was it a night, like, it was a joke that became something that people thought was serious that became a reality. So.
I didn't see the chicken and the egg thing, but like that's actually a good way to look at it.
You missed that? How could you miss that, Daniel? It's right there.
That way no particular side was responsible. Both took it to 11, essentially.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, I liked it. This film works for me. I think there could even be number two. I don't know how, but I think they could do something similar just with a whole new bunch of different people.
Yeah, it definitely could be a franchise potential, like Escape Room last year.
Hold on. Do you think Escape Room has franchise potential?
There's a second one coming.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Something else I can take crap on later.
Oh, I love Escape Room. Anyway. What?
We know.
Yeah, for The Hunt, though. Yeah, I had fun with it, too. I don't think all the satire worked as well as I thought it did. But I thought it was funny in parts. The kills are great. Betty Gilpin was I think she elevated more than she elevated the movie, basically.
And it was
it's really fun seeing Ethan Suplee, though. I've been a fan of him since, like, he plays racist characters so well, right?
He was great in Mallrats.
The sailboat guy.
Sailboat guy in Mallrats.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that for a while. But yeah, American History X, he plays the really vulgar one. Yeah. No, I liked it. It's good.
I thought it was a lot of fun myself. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, let's break this down a little bit more. I liked the convenience store scene. I thought it was phenomenal. That scene worked for me a lot. I really liked the scene when Hillary Swank makes the phone call and Barry Gilpin goes, "Kill her, Bob. Kill her. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to do with this. And you have no idea, and we still don't know." I kind of like that. They kind of left it, so you have to guess.
Yeah.
So, was he involved or not?
You mean Dawn.
Dawn. Was Dawn involved?
I don't think Dawn was involved. I think she just did that to get her to kill him.
I think so, too. But Barry Gilpin seems to figure out everything, even the guy in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Macon Byer, yeah. That was a cool seeing him.
So, again, I think this film is really fun, really enjoyable. Not amazing, but definitely a good watch.
Mm-hmm. And I was mad that Emma Roberts died first, but I like how it kind of subverts expectations of, like, oh, it's going to be Emma Roberts. This could be the star, and then that action hero-looking guy could be the star, and then he steps on the landmine.
Well, that guy was Green Arrow on Smallville.
Oh, okay.
The first guy, the hunter? Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know who he was, like, actor-wise. Yeah. And then they kill off, like, Baron Holtz. I mean, everyone's going to die, basically. But.
No, did anybody else think something was going to happen when the pig came out? I totally thought something was coming out of there.
That was so funny. Just a pig in a Shakespeare outfit.
I think it's a good movie. I definitely could revisit this at some point in my life. I wouldn't be.
Maybe in great. 5 years for you?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe. Who knows?
Fair. Okay, Emma?
Sure.
No clever transitions for that one. Starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Bill Nye, Johnny Flynn, Mia Goth, Miranda Hart, Josh O'Connor, Callum Turner, and Amber Anderson.
Ooh, big cast. Big. Kev, it's all yours. This is your favorite genre.
My favorite genre?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. This is like the third or fourth adaptation of Emma in the last 25 years.
Yeah, just what we needed. More.
Just what we needed. Well, actually, I would agree that we did because I love this. I thought it was fantastic. I loved Anna Taylor-Joy in the lead role. She's very expressionful in her eyes and the way she's, okay. We can see you, you know.
I know.
You too.
I like the cast. I thought the film looked great. Very vibrant. The colors were fantastic. All the outdoor shots, the green was just like, it was like almost like a fantasy England. And you go into the shops and then the colors and everything look clean and bright. Their costuming, normally you look at 19th century clothing, you see a lot of blacks mixed in with the whites, but there wasn't. There was a lot of blues and beiges and light colors. I really enjoyed it. I liked the characters. I can't remember the secondary lead, Mrs. Like Harriet Smith. That character.
Mia Goth.
Yeah. She has no eyebrows.
I know. I was like, wait. I think they're very, like, they're kind of, they're there, but not at all. Like, from afar, they don't look like they're there, but if you look really close, it's like, oh, okay, I can make them out a bit.
And I did a lot of the cast members from Sex Education, that English Netflix show, were part of the cast as well.
Maybe the director had something to do with that. I honestly don't know. To go back, I think the casting gels really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think you actually believe these characters all know each other. They exist in this world together. And they generally hang out together, I think, at some point.
It's very much like 10 Things I Hate About You kind of vibe, where everybody knows everybody in the high school. And who's dated who and who's going to be set up with who and... arranging marriages and relationships and things like that. And Emma's a matchmaker, essentially, right? So.
And she did a good job with it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Emma, I don't know what really much to say. I mean, it does have a good storyline. Obviously, they're pulling from a very famous book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Anna Taylor-Joy continually impresses me in stuff she's in. I think she's definitely an accomplished actress now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's had a breakout thing yet, but I think she's on her way.
Yeah.
Like people know her for The Witch, right?
Yeah, really The Witch. She's in Split.
Split and Glass. And
New Mutants, if it ever comes out.
Which is a good role for her. She looks like Ileana Rasputin.
Yeah.
So who knows if that film will ever come out. So we'll see.
I highly doubt it. I think it's going to be a VOD release in April.
I just want to see it already. I like this. The first half of it didn't really work for me as much as it worked for people. I was bored. I don't know. I didn't think there is, they weren't really saying anything that was interesting to me. Except for that bit with Bill Nye when he's like innocence with the guy that wed, the priest that weds them. But when Fairfax came into it and she kind of put her down a peg when she played the piano, I think that's when it started to work for me. I mean, the cinematography and like the costumes, like you said, and the colors always work for me. So I was like, okay, I'm into this, but I'm a bit bored. But no, I really liked it in the second half with Fairfax. And then it was like, okay, this is kind of charming. And I like that part with Miranda Hart. I don't know if she was on Sex Education, if that's one of the ones you talked about. I loved it when it was funny when what are you doing?
No. Miranda Hart's not on Sex Education, though.
No. Okay. No, it was funny when Emma was like, oh, but you never stop at three dull things.
Oh, yeah.
And then was like, oh, okay, that's putting her down a peg. And I like the second half a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of Anna Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, I have to say, I like... What?
I'm just saying, Dan loves Anna Taylor-Joy.
Thank you. He can't
resist.
Yeah.
Well, he has good taste.
she's a favorite, so she kept me interested, but just... Sometimes I think the language for me is like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. But then... Yeah, the second half really worked for me, though.
Good to hear.
I would agree, the piano sequence, and then the big dance is a highlight as well. The dancing was great. All right.
Oh, okay. Next one. The Grizzlies. Is that okay, or do you want to do Superman?
I don't care.
Let's do the Grizzlies.
Right. Let's do the Grizzlies. Starring Ben Schnitzer, Will Sasso, Tantu Cardinal, Anna Lamb, and Emerald McDonald. And there's a lot of guys in this movie, but I can't pronounce any of their names.
Well, they're made of Nineveh.
Yeah, and Nineveh. I think there's a lot of natives of Kuglitok in this movie. Because I know Emerald McDonald lives in Kuglitok.
I guess you're starting, Daniel.
Yeah, I might as well. I saw this movie back last May when it came out in a Canadian release at Cineplex. And I loved it the first time. I really liked it the second time. I think it's some of the acting is more apparently like rough the second time with like the bit actors like I forgot one guy, Boo-Boo Stewart from Twilight.
And Will Sasso.
I said Will Sasso.
Okay.
Sorry. Kyle's dad, I thought he was not very good at acting. And the sister of Miranda, when she was scolding her for staying out and not doing her responsibilities. I thought the acting was pretty good. For a lot of actors, that's just seen that they're in this movie because they're in Kuglitok. And I thought they played the characters well. I thought it did its themes well. I like the sports, even though it's more about the community and how lacrosse gives them a different outlet than drugs and alcohol. But because there's no stakes in the actual sports scenes because it's just house league, right? But no, I liked it. I really like this one.
I wouldn't say it's house league to them, though. I think participants take it pretty seriously.
Yeah, but I guess just no stakes in the bigger picture of it.
Disagree. They went to a tournament at UFT.
Yeah.
That's pretty big stakes.
Well, yeah, because that's what they have to fundraise towards. But I mean, then it just becomes them wanting to score one goal. No. And I'm not saying that the sports scenes are bad. I'm just saying, at least in the house league scenes, I didn't feel like there's like any stakes.
There was none, but they're trying to pick the team. Who's going to go and get them used to the game? They've never seen it before.
What do you mean?
I mean, this is a brand new game to the people here. They had to learn the game, learn to play, learn to run, do everything.
Yeah, I mean, like the games themselves, there's no stakes in it. I found their practices and them building themselves as a team were more interesting.
Okay, if you say so. I can go there. I just thought the storyline's been done before. It reminded me a lot of the Kevin Costner marathon film. I can't remember what it's called. Jackson or something.
McFarlane USA?
That's it. Exactly same film. Same kind of ending, same characters, same direction. I was like, I've seen this. Nobody really stood out. Nobody really upset me. It was kind of nice. I don't think they get to go to UFT, that then this film doesn't happen.
No.
I really think that was a breaker for the film.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but I thought that if that film was in a it's a tough subject matter because it could go very badly very quickly. And this film manages to toe a line of not being offensive, but also being potentially talking down to the community. I think the fact that it's based on a true story helped a lot.
Yes.
And they had a lot of the input of the original players they gave their feedback and they were involved in the background of the film. I think it was useful in showing us what the communities in the North are like, and the situations and the high level of suicide, alcoholism, drug use, the extreme poverty. And then of course there's traditions which, you know, they're traditions. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just from the standpoint of, let's say, the teacher. This teacher doesn't understand why it's more important for the one guy to go hunting with his grandparents than it is to go to school. Which I would argue, I think the grandparents would argue, is just as important or more important for him to go hunting and learn those skills, which are something that are useful to him in his day-to-day life as opposed to studying math or something like that. But I think it was the importance that team sports and the community building there helped the kids socialize and grow together as a group, and it helps reinforce the community, as opposed to, and the community itself, that one leader, the principal, doesn't want them to play. She does everything she can to block them and cut their dreams and so forth. But I think it just showed the community that their kids could aspire to be something bigger, and giving them a goal helped a lot. And the trip to Toronto is quite something. It's like just something to look forward to, seeing a different perspective.
Well, their living conditions are terrible. Scary, actually, the way they live, some of them. Yeah. And I do understand why they have to hunt. They have to feed themselves.
Right.
Because they definitely show you how much food costs here. Is they bought 13 items and it was $300?
And then Sasso says, oh, I owe you $16 for the bag of chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Give us another month of self-isolation, and we may be all living like that, so.
True.
Maybe $16 for a bag of chips.
Oh, man.
I don't need them at $15. I'll have a bit more potato. I'll just peel and bake an oven.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing I didn't like about it was the the teacher's Canadian accent, because he's from New York, and like it seems like he's from Ontario and like not Southern Ontario. So like just some of the ways he was, it's a very Canadian accent, you know, and it's just stereotypical, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Does anybody know if they actually did score more than one goal?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, because, I mean, even in their house league games, they only got to, what, like 10 goals?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, the one goal was just more for dramatic effect.
And yeah, maybe.
I was like, yeah, I'm sure they scored more than one goal.
You'd hope so. Maybe not against the best team in the nation, but against the other ones, maybe.
Well, that's my thing. They lost to the best team in the nation 16-0. They lost to the next team 24-0.
He's the better team.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. That was supposed to be the best team in the nation, and only beat them 16-0. This other crappy team beats them 24-0.
Maybe they're just dispirited, more dispirited by that point. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just glad they scored a goal and they all came back. And it looks like most of them found jobs and a career. And
yeah, that was really cool.
And I love these movies because they show the film at the end and they show what everybody's up to.
Yeah.
And yeah, McFarland USA did exactly the same thing.
Oh, yeah, but I like Tantu Cardinal here. Anyway, all right.
I always like Tantu Cardinal. I think she's very underutilized in film. I think she should have a lot more work than she's had over the years.
Yeah, I know Doug also watches Stumptown, but she's really good on that show.
Fair enough.
Okay. Superman, Red Son, with Jason Isaacs, Amy Acker, Diedrich Baker, Vanessa Marshall, Phil Morris, Phil Lamar, Jim Meskimen, and Sasha Royes.
Kevin, this is all you.
So this is based on the graphic novel by Mark Miller, Killian Plunkett, and Dave Johnson. And it's adapted to the screen by J.M. DeMatteis, the comic book
writer. DeMatteis, is that what I'm supposed to say, not DeMatteis?
It could be DeMatteis. I've always, from what I understand, it's DeMatteis.
Okay.
People that know him. So Jason Isaacs is Superman, Amy Acker is Lois Lane, Diedrich Bader who played Batman in Batman Brave and the Bold, is Lex Luthor. So this movie postulates, what if Superman's rocket landed in the USSR? And so Superman grows up in Russia in the 1950s, 40s and 50s, and becomes a tool of the state, essentially under Stalin. So Lex Luthor is a leading American industrialist, and without a Superman in the U.S., Lois Lane gravitates towards Lex Luthor, eventually marrying him. And so Clark, or I can't remember what his name is as a Russian Superman, they just call him Superman most of the time. He ends up basically using his moral superiority over Stalin and takes over as the leader of the USSR. And he starts making changes to that eventually make the Soviet system, the basically the predominant form of government in the world. So the Americans are still out there doing their things, but they're projected to collapse at a certain point by the 80s. And so Russia forms alliances with places like Paradise Island, and so Diana becomes ambassador to the USSR from Themyscira. You know, little things, you know, like Brainiac arrives and he ends up using Brainiac for his own uses, and little things. He manages to create, the one part I didn't like was creating Batman. So Batman is a Russian character who wants revenge against Superman. So he's almost like a terrorist against the state. But of the DC animated films, I thought this was a good one. This is one of the better ones. Action-packed and lots of little what-ifs. You know, how would the Green Lanterns look like, and what would other characters be like in this world? So I'd recommend it.
I have to 100% agree with you. I love the Batman-Superman fight. I thought that was great. I love the whole Wonder Woman stuff that worked. I like when Batman lasso a Truster. I like when Brainiac told Superman, "Aha, I've been playing possum all this time. I could have helped you. Ha, ha, ha." Fabulous. Mm-hmm. I like the Lex Luthor, how he was trying to make a super suit. He wasn't so much after Superman. He was doing stuff for good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's some great things in this film. I mean, I've never read the book, so I don't know if it's even close. But I quite liked it. I really, really enjoyed it. Thought it went somewhere, and surprising for me, I wasn't bored like I normally am. I was quite into the fight. Mm-hmm. And I like the voice acting a lot more than I usually do, too. I didn't find anybody stood out and bugged me. Mm-hmm. I generally have a problem at times. So I'm giving this a full thumbs up.
Daniel, do you see this one?
It was fine. I texted you something during it. I was like, this is kind of meh for me. And it was just cheesy to me. Just, with the whole setup with Batman, with the bats behind him, like, boy, like I thought you could hear a leaf that was like 1,000 miles away. You couldn't hear us scream. I think it's just the cheesy stuff that I couldn't get past for some of it. And the whole Wonder Woman, like, not all men, that whole bit. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like Superman dictates you. And I don't know if I'll ever love a Superman DC movie. But I did like the Green Lantern part, and I kind of had some enjoyment from it from the last like 30 minutes. And, yeah, but the way Batman looks with the two gone. Yeah. I don't know, but the fight was pretty good. It was probably better for me than Batman versus Superman fight.
I have a question, Dan. You're coming to these cold. Like, you don't read comics, right?
No.
So do you have any idea who half the time who Green Lantern is?
Only because I had the reference point of Ryan Reynolds, but I only got 40 minutes into that one. I still haven't finished it. I could only get, not even halfway through.
Was the show in existence when the Green Lantern came out, Kevin? I think we did it.
Yeah, 2011.
Oh, yeah, we would have done it then.
Yeah, so, like, I didn't clue in that was Hal Jordan. Like, I knew Noah's name, Hal Jordan, but I didn't clue in, like, oh, okay, because so I saw the alien, I was like, oh, that's the Green Lantern ring, right? And then he gives it to him, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I liked it when they met him in the sky, but I also thought it was a bit stupid when Wonder Woman comes and is like, oh, let's get you out of the box so you could have an end instead of being captured. I thought that was like lazy storytelling.
Now, I'm thankful they cut out the ending of the graphic novel, which I don't think would have worked in this film.
Which is what? I don't know.
So the ending of the graphic novel is that Luthor's in the future. Luthor puts his son into a rocket. And the rocket shoots into space because Earth is going to be destroyed. And it goes back in time and lands in Russia. So Superman isn't Kryptonian. He's Luthor's, like, grandson or something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That sounds kind of...
And genetically engineered.
If that would have happened, I would have hated it.
Yeah.
I might have hated it too. That just sounds bizarre.
Yeah.
But this whole, I remember this coming out being selling like hotcakes. Probably a really good seller.
It still is a huge seller. As far as, I mean, Superman, hard to name great Superman stories that people want to read the graphic novels of. But Red Son is one of those, maybe top 10 Superman stories that people do like. So.
I wonder if they're ever going to do those, the Alan Moore ones, The End of Superman or something. I like those too.
Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow?
And we're back for part two of the Extra Features, episode 242.
Hey.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's new. We had a 40-minute meeting. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. We'll figure it out. Don't worry.
Notice at the beginning, then I forgot. Oops. Well, it was a good time for a break because we finished our new movies and we're about to switch over to our usual streaming service. Although technically, I guess everything is now a streaming service.
Pretty much is, actually. And I'm very excited. And Practical Jokers is out Tuesday on streaming service.
Is it?
It is, April 1st.
Okay.
That's what I read, but
nice.
Who knows?
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. So the general feeling now is that due to the stuff that's going on with coronavirus, that movie theaters may take a while till they recover from the stigma of large group gatherings.
I agree.
But even if we manage to get something where there's a vaccine or there's a way to deal with the virus, that large group gatherings are people will avoid. So what do you think Disney should do with their tentpole releases like Mulan and Black Widow?
Charge a shit ton of money.
So do you think they should do the hunch route?
I don't think they have a choice. Cinema? I really don't think they have any choice.
I noticed that Onward is on digital, but it's going to be on Disney Plus on April 3rd.
Well, I think
they're rushing them to Disney Plus as quickly as possible. So I guess to get people to continue subscribing.
Of course.
So I could see them doing that with Black Widow too, maybe doing a rush release of that and then make it purchase only for 2 or 3 weeks, expensive, and then make it a digital item on Disney Plus.
I don't know. I think there's just different times. Everybody's going to be home for another month. I mean, that's a lot of movie money out the window. And can they really release Black Widow on home theater? Like, it'll be pirated an hour later.
That is a problem, yep. And also, they can't control how many people are in the room watching it when you rent it.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. They put $50 on that. It's probably what they're going to have to do.
They won't. I think that's too much.
Then it's not going to get released. They're just going to wait it out.
Well, apparently,
I
was going to say the stars are pushing for them to release it on digital. Quite a few of the actors have come forward in the last week and said, no, we think you should do it. People need a bright spot, so Disney might take a loss on it just to curry favor.
I don't know. I think that's a huge $1 million hit. Millions.
$1 million hit.
Yeah, I don't think they can. I think they're going to wait till the end of April or May and just wait it out, which is what I would do.
I want to see it, but I feel like it would be a shame to watch it for the first time in my home. Because that's a movie I'd go opening weekend for, and I like to watch those on a big screen.
But would you go see it if there was a risk of exposure of coronavirus?
Right now, no. Maybe at the 10 p.m. screening when there might not be anyone. Mm-hmm. Or if they still have the 50, because like when it was still open when I went to see Onward and The Hunt, they had they were only selling half the auditorium. So there was two left seats, two where no one was sitting, and then you could buy the seats next to it. So if they had that, maybe, but I think I'd still be a bit spooked. Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
Could China try to open their movie theaters and already closed them after one day of being open.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Their plan was to re-release big tentpole movies like the Harry Potter films, the Avengers movies, stuff like that, because they didn't have new movies to release.
No.
So,
was that because there was no one coming, or because there was a bit of a panic?
No, because there was a resurgence in cases.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they were too quick to try to get back to normal, and the case numbers started going up again. So they said, "No, we've got to rethink this and step back."
Okay.
Well, imagine how I feel. I mean, the convention business, I have no idea what's going on. We're planning as if there are going to be shows, but who knows, right?
Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, we got about 15 minutes left, guys, so.
Okay.
40-minute movie? We haven't talked that much. Oh, in the show, okay. All right, what's our Netflix show?
Spencer Confidential.
Answer is sponsor. Spencer Confidential, starring Mark Wahlberg, Winston Duke, Alan Arkin, Joaquin Woodbine, Eliza Schlesinger, Mark Maron, and Michael Gaston.
Michael Gaston. I gotta say, this film took me back to the 80s. I felt like I was watching one of those 80s cop dramas.
Did you watch Spencer for Hire when he was on TV?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I forgot Post Malone is in it as well.
Oh, he is in it. I like this film. It's not going to upset anybody. If you like 80s action films, this is pretty much what we got. Plot's a little light. Idle Schlesinger is hot as hell. Can't act save her life, but that's okay. I'm not fussy. Everything seemed to fall in place. I like the truck driving school. I thought that was a nice break for the film at times. I like the MMA fighting. I thought Winston Duke did a great job again. I'm really becoming a Winston Duke fan the more I see him. And I'd give this film a strong recommend. It's just fun to watch. There's not really much to talk about. It's your basic procedural cop drama with some action.
I didn't really like the semi-truck scenes. I thought they were kind of random.
That's why I like them.
I don't know. And Eliza Schlesinger, when she goes to save Alan Arkin, and she's just like, did they make you do anal stuff? I was like, what the hell is going on? I don't know. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's not going to offend anyone. I thought it was kind of boring in parts. I didn't mind the action. It was so weird seeing Post Malone trying to act.
He's a little off.
Like, two scenes is like, hey Spence, how you doing? And it's like, hi, you're Post Malone. What are you doing here? I don't know.
But looked good. He looked like a convict with all the tattoos on his face. I thought he fit in as a white supremacist.
Yeah, fair. I don't know. I mean, it was fine, but I didn't really think much of it.
I wanted to hate it, and I ended up liking it. I thought it was okay.
See? Two people liked it.
Wahlberg is always likable. And Winston Duke is quite amusing in this movie. Alan Arkin can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely agree.
And I gotta say, like, Eliza Schlesinger, that was like a Marissa Tomei type performance. She was just so completely different from everyone else in the movie. It was like watching a hurricane come in and destroy stuff and then disappear.
Yeah.
And having sex with him randomly in the bathroom and insulting him on his dick size and all that stuff. I thought that was
funny. It amused me. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because you're upset about your dick size. It's okay. I understand.
Okay. I'm a grower, not a shower, all right?
Yeah. Get back to me on that one, would you?
Okay. Fuck. I don't know how to respond to that, sir.
It's okay.
What's the next film?
All the Bright Places. Starring Elle Fanning, Justice Smith, Luke Wilson, Keegan-Michael Key for a little bit, Alexander Shipp, and Kelly O'Hara.
I didn't see this one, so you guys are on.
God. This was like torture. Absolute torture. I'm a big Elle Fanning fan. I know Luke Wilson, he knows who I am. We've talked a few times, had conversations outside of his job, says hi to me when I see him, remembers me. I don't see him like a lot.
Cool.
Yeah, like casual, he won't know my name, but he knows me, if that makes sense. Like, we've met enough times.
From the autograph stuff?
Yeah, I have a quick story. Luke Wilson fan dog park here. And a friend of mine used to visit a friend of mine's store. So I went over and met him a few times there. So I would talk to him, so he just knows me for that. He doesn't know my name, doesn't know anything else about me. We just talk. He knows me. So
okay,
back to the film. This is like teenage angst at its fullest. I'm just like, oh, my God, and it's way too long. It's like an hour 45 running time.
Yeah.
Hey, this needs to be cut by 15 minutes. Like, there's so much crap in this film. I'm just like, I don't care. I don't care. Both these kids had problems. Obviously, they're dating. And at the end of the movie, I just went, eh, I still don't care.
Yeah, I was like, okay, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done ranting, okay. Yes.
Okay. Not to be like rude, like, are you done? I just don't want to go in. I liked some of it. I thought some of it was, like, as far as teenage angst goes, Persevering the Wallflower is one of my favorite movies because I have bad anxiety, and that's the movie, don't roll your eyes. That's the movie that made me realize I had anxiety. But no, 8 years later, like, I already know I have anxiety. I don't need this movie to help me with that. I mean, I guess maybe younger kids that might do it for those. And I thought they portrayed the trauma well. I thought they portrayed the message of just finding joy and mourning, enjoying the little things.
Do they really enjoy it? She does. He doesn't.
No. See, that's my problem. I loved Elle Fanning, but I never got his character.
No, because it was dumb, badly written, made no sense. Like, they would not let this kid wander around without some chemicals.
And we'll spoil stuff, but I think I liked it up until when she was breaking out of his shell and he was just looking like, oh, I don't like you here anymore. Like, they barely scratched the surface of his character, and I never really understood him. And when it escalated to her staying out all night with him and them being worried because Elle Fanning's character's sister died in a car accident, which I thought they handled well.
They did.
And, so she's out all night, and then he goes home and he takes all these post-it notes off his wall. He paints the wall, and then about 20 minutes later, he kills himself. At the bottom of a lake that they visited, and she's like, Marco. She literally says Marco, hoping he says Polo back. And I think that's just when it kind of fell apart for me, because if I liked the movie, I would have been sobbing there, and I was like, you know what? I like her. I don't care about his character at all. And that is just, I gave it a 6 out of 10, but probably more of a 5.
Sorry, did somebody say 6 out of 10?
I did.
More like a 3.
No, yeah, it's probably a 5. It was just, these are the movies that I like. I love, like, young adult romance, like 5 Feet Apart I really liked. I know you didn't. And it's just, the way it happens is very young adult, and I just couldn't buy into it.
Well,
Elle Fanning's great, though.
All they had to do was push her off at the beginning. We could be done with this.
No. Ouch.
You know, it could have been over. Bye. Film over. 10 seconds. Done. And then we get a recap of all her friends discussing all the fun things she was. Oh, wait. She wasn't fun. She was boring, annoying, and anxious all the time. Move along.
He was boring and annoying. But they didn't handle the friends well at all.
No, the friends all suck too. This film's got suckitude.
I like some of it.
Of course you did, because you have this teenage angst issue. I got it.
And I like movies.
And what you need is a cookie. Cookie.
I have cookies upstairs.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
That's what you need. Do we have any more movies? I don't know how we're going to open the video vault now if we're doing this. I guess I'll have to get sound effects.
Nobody has the movie I want.
Hey, if it's on video, Blockbuster probably has it. I mean, we have over 10,000 videos.
Wow.
I'll watch these fast and have them back tomorrow, I promise.
Relax. At Blockbuster, you can keep your videos for 3 evenings, so take home plenty. And use our 24-hour quick drop.
Do you have any children's videos?
Sure. Blockbuster's America's family video store. You know, we have more kids' videos than any place else. And more movies, more nights, more fun.
Blockbuster Video. Wow. What a difference.
Who I love. Robert Forster and Jared Mixon.
Who cannot love Richard Jenkins? What a great actor, all the time.
I think the first thing I really remember, like, seeing him in was Let Me In, which I just thought was great.
Okay. Kevin, did you watch this, or you didn't want to revisit it? The pain was too much.
I've seen myself and Irene many times.
And the pain was not that much.
I'm not a huge fan of the Farrelly brothers, and this is not one of their better films.
I agree.
So I do like Jim Carrey, and so there are parts of this film that I don't mind. I don't mind his performance. It's a little over the top, but that's Jim Carrey for you. So I don't know. I don't have too much to say about it.
I have a few. I thought the opening one with his kids, he didn't understand. I'm like, okay, I see that joke coming a mile away. You know, and I got that. I thought there were a couple of good gags in here. A couple made me chuckle. Nothing was overall funny. I just thought it was, okay. I expected so much more from the Farrelly brothers.
I think it's the same way that Ace Ventura has not aged well in some ways with the transphobic jokes and the homophobic jokes. Because it's like, imagine trying to make this movie in 2020. You might end up with like 50 minutes that you can actually use.
I think this film would have worked better if they had more jokes. Like parts of it when they're driving and doing things, nothing happens. Like what's up with that cow scene?
I know.
Like
yep.
That joke falls flat.
Hey, let's shoot a cow, maybe.
And then the cow's alive at the end of the film. I'm like, what's the point of this?
Yeah, after he shoots him 8-6 times.
No cows were harmed in the making of that movie.
Yeah, and the thing with his three kids, I was kind of like, there's no joke here.
But that's the Farrelly brothers for you. I find that a lot of their stuff just isn't funny. They think it's funny or they find it cute, but it doesn't matter to most people.
Well, I find Something About Mary is still their best film, and they've never come close to that.
Oh, I love Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber is an excellent film, too. I'll give Dumber and Dumber. They're two good ones.
That's a Farrelly Brothers film, though.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have anything to check.
Came out the day I was born, so I'm Dumb and Dumber.
Fair enough. Yeah. Is that it, guys? We're going to have a nice short show, tight, even though we had a little mistake in the middle of the video, but I'll try to figure that out in the future. Nobody bought anything because nobody can leave the house. Oh, wait, Kevin can because he buys stuff on iTunes.
Yes. What did I buy? I bought Bring It On for $5.
Great film.
I bought The Founder for $5.
Eh, you love that film more than I did.
I bought Jay and Silent Bob Revisited. I made a huge mistake there.
Yeah, I saw it.
Did we do that one?
We have not.
Okay, I'll shit all over that one.
What? The 15 craps are coming for me.
I think that was number 10 on my worst.
Let's see. Oh, I bought The Gentleman.
Ooh. Which is okay. I
like that one.
It was okay.
You guys have reviewed it. I like it, actually. I thought it was quite good.
Did we review it?
We did.
You did, yeah. And then Bob sent me the code for Frozen 2, but I'd already seen it.
Indarn!
And I bought Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
I thought that wasn't due out till tomorrow.
On Blu-ray. I bought it on digital. Two weeks ago.
Can't wait to go into Walmart tomorrow and buy my Rise of Skywalker and go, hi all, not my day food.
Is it worth COVID-19?
The Highlander.
I love that film.
For $5. Bram Stoker's Dracula. In 4K. Love that movie.
Cool.
And Red Sun, Superman Red Sun.
Awesome.
A lot of movies.
Are we done? We're finished? I can give the big tagline now?
There you go. Go for it.
If they make it.
Simon drinks through it.
I didn't bring a drink at all tonight.
No, I drink. I drink Coke Zero. But no, I mean, you get drunk while you watch it.
Sometimes. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, bye.